Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. Today, we're going to talk about the most recent update on the Kuminga sign-in trade, free agency, whatever you want to call this last month and a half that it's been. Warriors have pretty much exhausted most options. It's looking pretty bleak out there, so much so that the last few weeks, I think most of us have been resigned to just thinking, okay, just get Kuminga back. Let's just kind of kick the can down the road, get him signed for a decent deal, which we are now learning that Kuminga is just not going to accept, and he's going to play some hardball and maybe even take the qualifying offer, which is just a huge lose-lose for everybody. So what options do we have? Recently, there's been talk with the Suns, but there's just really nothing there to be done because they don't have a first-round pick. Most fire comes from the Kings. So we're talking, originally we were saying, hey, nothing's on the table until it's a Keon Ellis or Keegan Murray offer. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Most recently, Sam Amick reported that the Kings, who have spoken with Kuminga, and Kuminga seems to be open to going to the Kings and almost prefers to go to the Kings. What the report is that team sources say they've offered Kuminga a three-year, $63 million deal. So talking about $21 million per year on average. And it would send Kuminga out, and it would send Malik Monk and a protected, lottery-protected first-round pick in 2030 from the Kings to the Warriors. If it doesn't convey, it becomes the Spurs pick the next year and would be, I think, the least favorable of the Kings or Spurs first-round pick that next year. Pretty heavily protected pick. I know the Kings are bad. They're pretty much kind of a late lottery, early non-lottery team. I don't really know where they're going to be in 2030, but all bets are that they're probably going to be in the lottery, and this pick may not convey to anything other than the Spurs 2031 pick, which with the way the Spurs are looking, that could be the last pick in the first round at this point. Who knows? It'll be a late first. So that's kind of the catch here, right? Is the pick, and it sounds like the protections are the primary sticking point. So it sounds like it's pretty close, and the Warriors are considering this depending on what the protections are. Okay, so kind of just digesting this here, let's kind of unpack a little bit here. So first and foremost, that trade alone, just Kuminga for Monk and a pick, that's not going to be the only deal here because of base year compensation. You guys already know Kuminga in that would be about $10.5 million in terms of salary matching. Malik Monk is on $18.8 million outgoing from the Kings this year. On that note, he also has two more years with the third year being a player option on that contract. So it's 3-year contract essentially, and it's not cheap. It's not a positive contract. It's not great, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit about why that might not be the worst case scenario. But essentially, the Warriors still have about, what's the math on that, about $8 million to fill an outgoing salary. So I think the most popular name out is Buddy Hield. So we're really talking Kuminga, Buddy Hield for Monk and a first round pick. Seems to be the most simple trade. Other options, I actually don't know the feasibility of this or if the Kings would even want this either, but you could also sign in trade Gary Payton II in this. I mean, you have to sign like a $7, $8 million contract, and then the Kings are essentially just eating that for a year and trying to do something with it. I don't think that's possible, but I've seen some constructs where you are also packaging GP2 in a sign-in trade, but assuming that's not possible, my thoughts. I'm very, very on the fence about this, so much so that I'm pretty aligned with the Warriors in terms of if the pick was unprotected, or you call it top five protected, I think I pull the trigger. It's really close. I don't love it, but given what the situation, given the potential for just catastrophe if you don't do this and you re-sign Kuminga, the relationship strained and it just doesn't work out next year, and essentially you're just unable to trade him and you're stuck with him, and then it's just the worst case scenario as well. I think it's close enough of a deal and has enough benefits to it to pull the trigger and just wipe your hands clean of this Kuminga situation, just kind of cut your losses. I hate to just cut Kuminga like that, but you are getting somebody that can help you. Malik Monk, let's talk about him for a second, and then I'll address the Buddy Hield situation. Malik Monk's a good player. He was the runner-up from Sixth Man of the Year 2 years ago. I think he scored like 15 points a game that year, and he increased his scoring last year, averaging about 17.2 last year. What I like most about Malik Monk is his playmaking and the assists. The assists in the last 2 years have been 5.1 and 5.6 assists, primary ball handler role. It's been more like a 3.2-ish assist for his career, and I would call it probably with the Warriors in that system, playing that six-man role. I think we could chalk him up for somewhere between 4 and 5 assists. It hasn't been talked about enough. I think the Warriors in the offseason, we already knew they wanted to get bigger. They needed a stretch center. They needed shooting. They needed perimeter defense, which is the drawback to this trade. But the other aspect the Warriors really struggled in, if you forget last year, secondary playmaking. Getting Jimmy Butler helped a lot with that. Now you have him and Steph who can play make at any given time. Pajemski getting there, improving, but at this point, you're sort of just relying on Pajemski to be that second playmaker when Steph's off the court and when Jimmy's off the court. You can't ask, once call it when Steph's out, you can't ask Jimmy to create every single possession. We saw what that looked like in the playoffs when Steph was out. You need a secondary playmaker. Pajemski was not enough. Yeah, you might have Melton coming in, which gives you a little bit, but nothing like a Malik Monk. And this is the reason why you heard Marcus Thompson talking about a Coby White. It's the reason why I think you could do this for Malik Monk is just the ability to beat your defender and create an advantage. Kuminga can do that. He can create an advantage for himself and go get a bucket, but Malik Monk can do that and then he can create for others. And then that's where you kill them with what is hopefully a better shooting team. You have Malik Monk who can get to the hoop, break guys down off the dribble. Now you potentially have, Steph Curry finding some space for a three. You have Buddy Hield if he's still there for a three. You have Melton. You have maybe Seth Curry, who we're going to talk about in a second as a Buddy Hield replacement. You have Horford. You have other guys who can shoot off of that playmaking action. Again, it's something that you hope Pajemski can do for us, but he just can't get enough playmaking. So that's the biggest thing that Malik Monk brings. In addition, he's going to give you about 15 to 17 points, which the Warriors are going to definitely need as a third scorer if you lose Kuminga. Also, a good free throw shooter. 3-point shooting, 35%. Let's just call it that. He's 35 on the dot for his career, was only 32 and a half last year, but shot selection, he shot higher volume, and I think he was just kind of firing away last year. But couple years before that, kind of going back, 2 years ago, 35%. 3 years ago, 36%. 4 years ago, 39% from three. And 5 years ago, 40% from three. So he has it in him. Anyone who comes to the Warriors is also going to be getting much cleaner looks and spacing from Steph Curry. Field goal percentage, 43, 44% guy for kind of his later career. It's not the best, but out of a sixth man, that's okay. That's tolerable. And on nights where he doesn't have it, then hey, you know what? It's okay. We don't have to play you as many minutes. But there are going to be nights, especially with the long, grueling regular season, that you just need some volume scoring. Really, the closest thing that the Warriors in that system have had is kind of like a Jordan Poole. And for all the things you can say about Poole and the things I will say negatively about Jordan Poole, Monk brings you a little bit more, slightly more efficient scoring, a slightly better shooter, although I guess we can call that pretty much a wash in terms of spacing and 3-point shooting. But he gives you that ball handling, that creation, and just someone who can catch fire like Poole did. Defensively, they're probably fairly comparable. I can't really think of anybody that is a worse or less caring defender than Jordan Poole. So I'm going to say Monk might be a slight upgrade there, but truth be told, I haven't watched too much Malik Monk defensive highlight tape to tell you, or low light tape to tell you. So that's Malik Monk in a nutshell. And obviously, again, what he brings is that playmaking and something that the Warriors sorely need, including he can maybe win you a game or two if he gets hot. To the Buddy Hield issue. Buddy Hield played too many minutes last year. He won us a playoff game. He won us several games when he was hot. When he was shooting well, the Warriors won. When he went through his slumps, the Warriors didn't. Buddy Hield's defense was improved last year, and it was probably almost league average where he could be on the court and not get abused too badly. That being said, no playmaking, a lot of bad turnovers, and if he's not shooting well, he doesn't really give you much else on the court in terms of connectiveness, in terms of just any creation. And then again, no rebounding, and the defense is pretty mediocre at best. Also, not to bash Buddy, but the idea of losing Buddy in this, if you can go get what's rumored to be Seth Curry, who is an even better shooter than Buddy, if you replace him and kind of just have him be your spacing, I think it's okay to part with Buddy here. I do love Buddy for the person he is. I know Jimmy Butler and him, we all love the Batman Robin Butler and Buddy thing, but he's expendable if that's what you need to get this deal done. And if that first round pick is a little more lightly protected, I think you can pull the trigger here. Buddy has, I think, $9 million on outgoing salary. Makes it work. Bring in Seth Curry. And I think with, especially if you're adding Melton, you're adding Monk, that shooting guard spot has enough depth there where Buddy Hield probably, as it is, even if you don't get Monk, he's probably going to be trimmed down on minutes a bit next year. Your Melton's going to get a lot of those minutes. Depending how Pajemski plays, he'll handle all the minutes that he can. And exactly. So you're also maybe bringing in like a Malcolm Brogdon would be another option. We haven't really talked about him too much, but if you can get him or Seth Curry, Buddy becomes expendable in a trade like this. I want to talk about Malik Monk's contract a little bit here. And so while it's not a great positive contract, again, like 18.8 million on, I think about that's what it's going to be for the next couple 3 years. It'll be like 19 million the following year and like 20 and a half-ish that third year. It's still a tradable asset, right? I mean, I already know about salary matching. So in every other trade where you're giving out Kuminga, most salaries you're getting back, say, your Devin Carters, your Royce O'Neals, your Ayo Dosunmus, all these different hypotheticals that we have on the table, you're not taking back anyone with enough salary matching to actually go get a all-star fringe type player or an impact player when you start adding some picks to it. Malik Monk gives you that contract that's still movable in 2 years from now, assuming he hasn't played his way out of that contract and it's just basically a dead contract. It is a decent expiring contract that you can trade to a team just to get off of their books. So there is a vehicle to kind of essentially kick Kuminga's trade asset value down the road, and you still have a contract somewhere around $20 million. Again, that, hey, if the unthinkable happens and Giannis wants out, you can give Monk and you can give Draymond Green and you can give someone else, and you're close to about $50 million, and you send them all the picks and all the Warriors cheerleaders and everything else you need to give to the Bucks to make that trade happen. At least Monk keeps that in play. So all that being said, at first I was like, man, I don't think I would do this trade because on paper, Kuminga for Monk, Kuminga's upside is just so much stronger, so much higher. But the floor at this point is so much lower because there's very much the risk of just losing him for essentially nothing. Worst case scenario, again, you sign him to come back. Kerr doesn't play him, doesn't work out, he doesn't want to be there. No one wants to trade for him. You're stuck with that dead salary for the next 2, 3 years, and then that's the window. Not sure Malik Monk puts you over the top, but he keeps the dream alive. He gives you another engine, if you will, on offense. Maybe like Buddy Hield, that defense and just playing with a Draymond Green and a Jimmy Butler holds Monk a little more accountable, and he turns into a viable two-way player that can maybe even close games for you. And nevertheless, your guard depth with Steph, Pods, Melton, Monk. That's pretty good right there. Not sure if Monk can really slide to that small forward. I'm sure Steve Kerr will play him in a three guard lineup at times, but that's something else to worry about another day. So, for all those things being said, I think I would do the trade, but only if the trade protection's lightened. Might not find an answer for a while. Looks like John the Kaminga is off to the Congo to play an Afro basketball. Maybe that's the clarity he needs. Maybe just getting him out and letting his agent deal with this. Or maybe the Kings just lighten up and pull the trigger and say, let's just go get Kaminga before anything happens in Congo or anything like that. And the Kings just want to get their guy. I do think that's a good move for the Kings, getting him for a 3-year, $63 million contract. That's pretty good. Given his upside, that's not bad. And they've been wanting to get off of Monk's contract for a while. We're just talking about that pick now. So let's see what happens. Put what you think in the comments, guys. There's going to be a lot of 50-50 on there. I think some of you guys are going to think I'm crazy because Monk sucks and Kuminga is the best. And then you're the people that also think like me. So we'll see. I believe, though, that the Warriors are probably still going to keep Kuminga, but this has been the most tempting deal for them to actually get off of him. And I think as time goes, they might have to also loosen their grip a little bit. All right, that's all I got for you. Like I say every time, I hope to be back when the Warriors actually make a move. But until then, I'm Christian. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.